order of service is Matins, found on page 32. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open thou my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. O come, let us worship the Lord. We recite the introit found printed in the bulletin. Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. I have set the Lord always before me. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices.
My flesh also dwells secure.
For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol,
or let your Holy One see corruption.
You make known to me the path of life.
In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, as it was in the beginning,
is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity.
Let us give glory to Him, because He has shown His mercy to us.
We recite the Athanasian Creed. If it's not in your bulletin, it is printed on page 53 of the hymnal. Whosoever will be saved, before all things, it is necessary that he hold the Catholic faith, which faith except everyone do keep whole and undefiled. Without doubt, he shall perish everlastingly. And in the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons, nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Ghost. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is all one. the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Ghost. The Father incarnate, the Son uncreate, and the Holy Ghost uncreate. The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Ghost incomprehensible. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Ghost eternal. And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. And there are not three uncreated, nor three incomprehensibles, but one uncreated and one incomprehensible. So likewise the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Ghost almighty. Yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God. And yet there are not three gods, but one God. So likewise the Father is Lord, the Son Lord, and the Holy Ghost Lord. And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord. For like as we are compelled by the Christian verity to acknowledge every person by himself to be God and Lord, so we are forbidden by the Catholic religion to say, there be three gods or three lords. The Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten. The Son is of the Father alone, not made nor created, but begotten. The Holy Ghost is of the Father and the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding. So there is one Father, three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Ghost, not three Holy Ghosts, and in the Trinity, before after another, none is greater or less than another, but the whole three persons are co-eternal together and co-equal, so that in all things, as aforesaid, the unity of the Trinity and the Trinity in unity is to be worshipped. He, therefore, that will be saved, must thus think of the Trinity. Therefore, it is necessary to everlasting salvation that he also believe faithfully the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the right faith is in Christ, Son of God, is God and man, God of the substance of the Father, begotten before all worlds, and man of the substance of his mother, born in the world. Perfect God and perfect man, of a reasonable soul and human flesh subsiding, equal to the Father as touching his Godhead, and inferior to the Father as touching his manhood, who although he to be God a man, yet he is not two, but one Christ, one not by conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking manhood into God, one altogether, not by confusion of substance, but in the unity of person, for that is a reasonable soul and flesh, man. So God and man is one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead. He ascended into heaven, he sitteth at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from thence he will come to judge the quick and the dead. As in whose coming all men shall rise again in their bodies, and shall give an account of their works. And he everlasting life. This is Catholic faith, which is faithfully and firmly, he cannot be saved. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. The Old Testament reading is found in Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our second reading comes from Acts chapter 2. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced, and my flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our holy gospel reading is found written in the gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. We rise in reverence to the gospel. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and bear witness to what we have seen. But you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things, and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. You may be seated for the hymn of the day. Brothers and sisters of Zion Lutheran Church, may the meditation of our hearts and the word of my mouth be acceptable to him, the Almighty God. Let us pray. Almighty Lord, we come before you to praise and honor you. We are ever thankful that you have revealed yourself to us, your beloved creation. Help us to always worship and honor you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, forever, three in one. Amen. At times, some things can seem a little strange to us when they are one thing while also being another. As an example, we are all saints. We are righteous before God, while we are still sinners. How can that be? At a quick glance, that would seem to be a contradiction. An easier example to understand would be a marriage. A husband and wife are two separate people, but they are at the same time one flesh. We understand this easier because it is so common in our society today. What is truly difficult for us to understand sometimes is the great and amazing union between the three persons of God, the Trinity, and the fullness of God. For we cannot perceive how there can be three all-powerful, all-knowing, and ever-present persons, and yet only one Almighty God. However, this is, in fact, what has been revealed to us in Scriptures. It is what has been revealed to us by God. But what does God reveal of himself, and when did he do it? All answers can be found within Scripture itself. God's revelation towards us doesn't start only when he calls the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt, when he makes known to them by Moses that he has chosen them over all nations of the world. It doesn't even begin in the calling of Abraham out of his home city in Ur to travel to the land of Canaan and inherit it. It's a journey, by the way, that is over 700 miles long. No, the revelation of God is, and his of what God is and what his magnificent power is, begins for us at our beginning. When our time, our existence begins, so does the revelation of God, our Father, and our Creator. He made himself known to us when they came down to make us in their image. And this, of course, the they and their language refers to the first chapter of Genesis, where it says, "Let us make them in our image." This is a clear reference to the Trinity. It also shows or reveals to us that all members of the Trinity were present at creation. All were there when man was formed from the dust of the earth, and then when woman was formed from the bone of man. For when one member of the Trinity is present, all are present. One cannot be separated from the other. As St. John attests to this in his gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." This familiar passage further gives us proof to the nature of the Trinity. For we know that the Word, which is spoken of here, is in fact Jesus Christ, Verse 2 states that the Word, Jesus Christ, was in the beginning with God, which in turn means that Jesus is indeed God. Detractors to this idea may say that this was, or even today is, a mere projection onto who Jesus is. His followers, us, they claim, want him to be God, so they equate this good and humble anti-establishment teacher to be the God of the Old Testament. In this, they are wrong. For we do not impose our will or our reason unto the Scriptures. Jesus himself gives further clarification on this doctrine of the Trinity. In the reading for today, Christ uses the plural pronouns of we and our when speaking to Nicodemus of the witness which Christ brings from heaven. This, of course, is referring to the other members of the Trinity along with Christ Jesus. There is, however, a better testimony to the divinity of Jesus Christ and the Godhead, the shared Godhead of Jesus. When defending himself against the Jews and their accusations of him being possessed by a demon, Jesus states that Abraham, their forefather, rejoiced to see his day, Christ's day. The Jews were naturally perplexed by this, since Abraham died many centuries past, prior to their time. So they ask him what he means. And Jesus' answer to this cements him as one with the Father of old. Jesus states that before Abraham was, I am. This statement from Christ, his proclamation of the I am, goes back to when God called Moses from the burning bush and stated that he, God, should be called I am. To this proclamation, the Jews sought to stone Jesus to death because, why? He so openly equated himself by claiming the name of the Most High, equaling himself with the Father in heaven. So for us, proclaiming that Jesus is God, which we do, we are not projecting our own hopes, our own desires upon him, but we are rather holding true to his true doctrine, the true essence of the Trinity. Jesus Christ is God. And just like Christ is, the Spirit is testified of within Holy Scripture. The Spirit of truth, which is the Spirit that proceeds from the Father, is the Holy Spirit, the Helper, which Christ has sent from the Father. The Spirit is not, however, a product of Christ's resurrection, or it is a fulfilled promise to his disciples. No, rather, the Holy Spirit has been there from the beginning. In Genesis, before our creation, we read that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. When this person of the Trinity is so openly named, it's easy to begin to understand the structure of the Trinity, of the Godhead. We begin to see that the Father, creator and maker of all things, is God. Also, Jesus Christ, who is the Word that was present at creation, is God, fully divine. And we see that the Holy Spirit, who was there brooding over the deep, is also God. For when one member of the Trinity is present, all are present. One cannot be separated from the other. When Jesus comes to us to lead us to repentance and salvation, it is not only Jesus that does this, but the entire Trinity. The Father takes you under his wings. The Spirit gives you peace to your weary souls. God is Spirit, and we are to worship him in spirit and truth. But we, who are born into sin and deserving of our wages, cannot worship God in spirit, let alone in truth. At least we couldn't. Not until Christ came to reconcile us to God, all mankind to God, to our Father who is in heaven. He has done this by his great and wondrous sacrifice of his broken body and his precious flowing blood. Through him, Jesus has taken our sins to the cross with him. On that dreadful hill, he put to death our sins, our anger, our lust, our secret desires, our dark doings, our depression and anxieties, and our fears were all put to death as he disgracefully hung there in our place on that infamous tree. Now, because he is risen, we are able to worship God fully. And yet he still comes to us, even after everything that he has done for us. He comes to us by means of his blessed sacraments. In baptism, we receive the Holy Spirit and become children of God. The Spirit opens our understanding of the Scriptures so that we may turn from our sins and fully believe the promise of salvation given to us by Christ. In the Lord's Supper, we are fed that same body and drink that same blood of Jesus that was broken and shed for us those many centuries ago. And now Jesus dwells within us, and we in him, as he promised he would for us. Because of all this, because of his life and death and his resurrection, we are able to worship the Holy and Divine Trinity. For when one member of the Trinity is worshipped, all are worshipped. One cannot be separated from the other. Because God first revealed himself to us through the prophets of old, and now through the living, dying, and resurrection of his Son, we are able to know him, the Almighty God. And we know his love for us, his most beloved children. He calls us to salvation and repentance of sin. He desires all mankind to be saved and to worship him in spirit and truth. Because of this revelation and the indwelling of God, we are able to worship him in spirit and truth unto life everlasting. Amen. Now may the Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, guide and guard us, and may we never refrain from praising his most glorious name, so that we may join the saints and angels in their ceaseless praise. Amen. for the Te Deum. Let us pray for the whole church and all the people of God. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we, thine unworthy servants, do give thee most humble and hearty thanks for all thy goodness and loving kindness to us and to all men. We praise thee for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all, for thine inestimable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we beseech thee to give us that due sense of all thy mercies, that our hearts may be unfaintingly thankful, and that we may show forth thy praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, that, walking before thee in holiness and righteousness all our days, we may enjoy the testimony of good conscience and the hope of thy favor, be sustained and comforted under the troubles of this life, and finally, be received into thine everlasting kingdom through thine infinite mercy in Jesus Christ our Lord. We offer unto thee our common supplications, for the good estate of thy church throughout the world, that it may be so guided and governed by thy good Spirit, that all who profess themselves Christians may be led into the way of truth and hold the faith in unity of spirit, in the bond of peace, and in righteousness of life. Send down upon all ministers of the gospel and upon all congregations committed to their charge the helpful spirit of thy grace, and that they may truly praise thee, pour upon them the continual dew of thy blessing. Most heartily we beseech thee, with thy favor, to behold the President and Congress of the United States and all others in authority, and so to relinquish them with thy grace, that they may always incline to thy will and walk in thy way. Prosper all good counsels and all just works, that peace and happiness, truth and righteousness, religion and piety may be established among us throughout all generations. We humbly entreat thee also for all sorts and conditions of men, that thou wouldst be pleased to make thy ways known unto them, thy saving health unto all nations. May it please thee to preserve all that travel by land or water, to succor all that are in peril or need, and to satisfy the wants of thy creatures. We also commend to thy fatherly goodness all those who are in a way afflicted or distressed in mind, body, or estate, that it may please thee to comfort and relieve them according to their several necessities, giving them patience under their sufferings and a happy issue out of all their afflictions. We pray especially for Marvin Grody, Pat Post, Esther Schweier, Jim McCullough, Joyce Lechner, Michelle Hill, Aubrey Art, Sean Mendez, Austin Art, Thomas Etzler, Leah Spengler, the Reverend David and Barbara Bush, Barbara Wolford, Ryan Fiesel, Charlotte Davis, Maya Kala, Wanda Secor, Waylon Steiner, Kenny Miller, Patricia Lee, Jeff Secor, Nikki Strait, and for Logan and Carissa, as they are about to give birth, Heavenly Father, that your hand be upon them. Hear us, most merciful God, in these most humble requests, which we offer up unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, we also pray, O Lord of the Church, as this congregation now enters into a time of pastoral vacancy, grant by your grace that Zion continually be fed by your word, which is able to sustain them into salvation. Holy Spirit, grant a sermon to Zion's call committee, which will soon be established. Guide them by your word as they seek out the next man to feed them with your word and blessed sacraments. O God, guard the call committee and all members of Zion from the crafts and assaults of the devil. Assure them of their identity in Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, you have established the family for your glory and the furthering of your kingdom. Grant strong faith to the families of Zion, that they would hold fast to your promises, and that you will soon send to them a pastor. O Lord Jesus Christ, Good Shepherd, you have called men to shepherd your people, guiding them to you and feeding them with your word and blessed sacraments. You know the man of whom you will give the shepherd's staff, and he will be Zion's next pastor. Guide him and prepare him for his service at Zion. Gracious Lord, look with favor upon your dear saints here at Zion. Grant them patience, zeal, and strong faith in you. O Lord Jesus Christ, you are the wisdom sent from the Father and our Father. Grant to all us godly wisdom that we would look to you as an example and avoid pride, arrogance, and impatience. Lastly, Almighty Father, guard and guide Zion and give unto them your peace, not as the world gives, but the peace that you freely give in the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith, and to worship the unity and the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in the faith and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign, one God, now and forever. Bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. You may be seated. All right, a couple of announcements. Tuesday, Chime Choir, of course. That is at 6 p.m.? No, is that noon? I can't tell. It's either 6 p.m. or noon, so show up to both times, and if it's not at noon, it'll be at 6 p.m. Reminder to parents and grandparents, you are invited to post photos of your newborn to kindergarten-age children on the cradle roll. Please keep your photos updated, and please keep our little ones in your prayers. As I mentioned in... Oh, it says here, Chime Choir will be at 7 on Tuesday. Okay. As I mentioned in the prayers, Logan and Clarissa are in the hospital. She is having contractions. So we pray that everything goes well, and she is healthy, and the baby is delivered healthy and well. One last thing, there will be a quick call committee meeting at the front of the church following today's service, which concludes now. Thank you, and God bless you, everyone.